Welcome to The Rise of the Ecopreneur, a podcast presented to you by Ubuntu. Ubuntu is a collaboration platform connecting sustainability changemakers all across the globe. I'm your host, Shelby, otherwise known as Shelbizzle on YouTube, where I make other sustainability content. And each week on the podcast, I'll be speaking to environmental changemakers whose research, campaigns, innovations are helping to create a more sustainable future. So if this sounds like something you'd be interested in, make sure to follow us on your favorite podcasting platform and stay tuned for future episodes. Today on the podcast, we'll be speaking to Emma, one of the co-founders of Final Co. and one of the co-creators of The Final Straw. That's the collapsible straw that goes on your keychain that you have inevitably most likely seen on Facebook when it was viral, and they have finally launched their Kickstarter. They're finally shipping out the straws to everyone this November and December. So we're going to hear all about how they created this product and the challenges they faced in doing so. Welcome to the Rise of the Ecopreneur, Emma.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Absolutely. I'm really excited to talk to you because whenever the Final Straw started, you know, going viral, as many of us found out about you guys, I remember thinking, oh, I've had that idea for so long. I just had no idea where to start. And I remember immediately thinking, I wish I could talk to them to know how this journey came about. So I'm very excited to share the story with my audience today. Can you tell us, though, a little bit about how you became invested in the environment in general? I always like to start off the podcast with that question.
Yeah, totally. So it's funny because I never really thought too much about my first business that I started until Final Straw is like taken off. And now I've looked back on it with new eyes. But the first business I ever started, I was 9 years old and I would go and collect all the fruit that had fallen off the trees on my neighbor's trees and sell it at farmer's market.
And genius.
So I just had this little, you know, crate and, you know, made like probably 20 bucks or something. But, you know, it's really funny looking back on that because that is really how I got started. After that, you know, I didn't really grow up in a household where, you know, being very conscious about your waste was, you know, a top priority. My dad was very, you know, against food waste and would make sure I always ate my food. So that was drilled into me from a young age. But it wasn't really until college that I started noticing how much plastic waste was getting used and really started becoming obsessed with it, going to parties and seeing everyone with, you know, 10 different cups. It really started to drive me crazy. And so in college, my girlfriends and I ended up working on a single-use plastic bag ban for Santa Barbara, and then that kind of evolved into us starting a nonprofit called Save the Mermaids because we already had the mermaid outfits, and we just like to, you know, make things fun and exciting and silly and sexy and sparkly because, you know, why not? So that's really how I got involved with it, and then after that, really decided to kind of take it up a notch and enrolled in a master's program at Harvard, environmental management and sustainability, while also working at Los Alamos National Laboratory in waste minimization.
Very cool. So when you went into university for your bachelor's, were you not majoring in anything sustainability related?
Yeah, so I started off as a math major and then switched to neuroscience. So I graduated with a BS in neuroscience. You know, I still am very fascinated by behavior in the brain and, you know, those kind of things, but it's not what really drives me. And what really drives me is, you know, increasing awareness around single use plastic. I'm obsessed. I have a problem.
No, you have a solution, Emma.
Right. Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Way better stated. After getting to know a little bit more about Emma, I definitely wanted to get more into the business side and move further away from the personal side. I also wanted to talk to her about her business partner, Miles, who helped co-found Final Co. as well as co-create The Final Straw. Well, I'm really glad you mentioned the like party phase and that seems to be like your aha moment or your trigger to when you decided to take it from a passion to like dedicating your life to it, essentially, because I find that a lot of people have an interest or a passion, but it takes a lot to take that step to say, I'm going to dedicate like 80% of my life to this cause, which I
obviously I think is amazing and admirable. So I guess now we know a little bit about your background, and we definitely want to get into Final Co and Final Straw, but I know that you kind of co-created this with Miles. So if you could tell us a little bit about how you know each other and how that all came about.
Yeah, totally. So Miles was dating one of my very good friends, and I met him at Burning Man last year. We hung out for like an hour. He seemed really cool. I liked him a lot, but, you know, didn't think too much of it. And then about a month later, almost exactly a year ago, he called me up out of nowhere. I was like, hey, I hear you're the straw lady, because I've been obsessed with straws since like 2010 is when I went to Thailand and saw them littered all over the beaches everywhere, and just mm-hmm. really became passionate about it. And then ended up doing a TEDx talk on straws in 2015. And so he just called me up for some advice, because I knew a lot about straws. I don't think he had any idea, you know, what he was getting himself into by calling me. But, you know, it started off as me talking with him on my lunch breaks at work. And then, you know, then we were talking in the evenings, and then it was all over the weekends. And then it was just like, it started being a lot of work. And I was like, okay, like, what are we doing here? Like, you want a business partner or what? And he was like, yeah, like, let's do this.
So then the idea came about, and I guess we'll get into kind of how you started the business model as well, but I'm really interested in the sourcing of the materials, because like I said, I don't know if a lot of people have this idea, but obviously I've mentioned to you before that I had the idea, but
yeah,
no idea where to start. So if you could tell us about how you did that.
Sure. So, I mean, we are just the classic story of fake it till you make it. And just networking and asking every single person, you know, if they have any sort of connection. So, you know, Miles is the one who came up with the idea. And it's funny, because you are not the only one who said that. Like, I would say like maybe once a week or every, you know, couple weeks, we get a comment like, this was my idea. And it's like, oh yeah. Okay.
I feel like whenever I saw it, I didn't want to take ownership of it. Like, it's my idea. I was just very intrigued to know how you did it. So.
Oh, but it's, you know, but that's the thing. Like, people have had this idea in the past, but like, it's, you know, there's one thing to have an idea, and there's another thing to execute on it. And then there's, you know, and so basically we made a friend who knew how to mock things up in CAD, which is, in the program you need to use to, 3D print. So that was like for the case design. We just had them printed in LA. And then additionally, you know, the tube is, just regular stainless steel tube that we milled the ends of it, so you could fit it together, with those chamfer pieces. And then, the tubing that we used for the prototype was just medical tubing. It's a very simple device, you know, at least our prototype was quite simple. So it was a lot of trial and error though, because, you know, the tubing gave us a lot of different problems. So we had to like test all these different materials, and we were just like ordering all these different kinds of tubing. And, you know, Miles and I spent hundreds of hours assembling straws, testing straws. Like, I mean, it was crazy. We turned into full mad scientists.
At this point in Final Co's journey, they had a product, but they did not yet have a business. And I'm very interested in hearing how they developed a business personally, because as someone who tries to live an ethical and sustainable lifestyle, I think it's really important to get the full picture of a business's processes and beliefs. So I wanted to get into how they took their product and turned it into a full-blown business model, and one that's sustainable, might I add. Well, I just got my straw yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Oh, amazing!
And I have been admiring the prototype, if you will. Well, actually, this is the finished product now, right? So,
the finished product.
But I know that whenever it launched, I don't know if you didn't have this or if it's something that developed, but now there's a drying rack, and the squeegee is just so well incorporated into like the packaging. Have you guys changed the model a lot since, like, your first idea when you first launched your Kickstarter?
Yeah, so the design has changed quite a bit. We the prototype that we launched with Kickstarter was something that, you know, we did with a very small budget, you know, through friends mm-hmm. and friends of friends. And, you know, when the Kickstarter was a great success, we looked at the prototype and we said, you know, this can be improved upon. And now we actually have the funds to work with people who can help us take it to the next level. So we found an amazing design team in Seattle, and they, you know, helped us create a product that is designed for manufacturing. So, you know, not only is it designed for consumer use and ease, but it's also designed so that in the manufacturing process, it's easier to make, because the prototypes took an hour to make one straw.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we made 200 of them. So it was so much work, and it wasn't a sustainable process in the terms that, you know, you can't have something take that long to manufacture and mass produce it.
That's also fascinating, because I think once we see the finished product, I don't know how many people can appreciate like how much work and thought goes into it. Because I'm sure in some people's mind, it's just, you know, a bunch of materials thrown together, some machine did it, and why is it, you know, why do I have to pay this much for this sort of thing? Even though I think you guys are doing a good job of keeping it affordable. But yeah, I think a lot of people don't appreciate that sort of thing. So I love that you're explaining that part of it.
I'm going to say that we looked into every single aspect of the straw and tried to perfect it. So mm-hmm. every square, you know, millimeter has been thought over, tested, argued over. Like it's, and that's why, you know, we launched this Kickstarter in April, and it's now October, and we have our final product. And it's because we didn't want to just crank out a bunch of product that, you know, people weren't going to be super stoked on. And so, you know, it meant more to us to take our time, and it's not due to lack of work. I work 7 days a week, you know, 12 to 16 hours a day. Like, it's been insane. I have no friends now.
Yeah, it always seems to go that way whenever you try to start your own thing. Can attest
to that
as
well. But I wouldn't have
it
any other way. It's like, I love it. I'm obsessed.
I love that too. So we mentioned Kickstarter. I'm wondering if you could tell us, because I know that your initial goal for your Kickstarter is significantly lower than what you guys have ended up with. So if you could tell us just a little bit about how that process went, and like if you could tell everybody where you started and where you are now.
Yeah. So, you know, as I said, we've just been fake it till you make it since day one. This is both Miles and I've first business that we've ever started. And so when we decided to do a Kickstarter, we really dove into all the other successful Kickstarters that have, you know, been out there. And what did they do to, you know, garner an audience? What did they do with their video? What did their page look like? You know, what was their messaging like? All of these things. And we picked apart every single one. And then, you know, pick the pieces that really resonated with us and what we want to, you know, represent as a company, and just copied it. I mean, it's not rocket science. You know, all this information is out there, public information. We only got a hold of one person who had thrown a Kickstarter previously. So, you know, we didn't really get a ton of insider information. And yeah, it was, you know, a very robust pre-campaign strategy, collecting a ton of emails, you know, getting people excited in what we were doing. And then, I mean, we thought, we were praying that we would sell a couple thousand straws. Like, that was the big reach. You know, for me, it was really hard to see the demand for straws, because I haven't used straws in years. So I was like, I don't know, do people really like straws? And I didn't know the answer to that. So, you know, when we launched the Kickstarter and, you know, we're up at midnight and Miles bought the first straw, and we're like, oh, we sold one. Yay. And then like, then we just like are sitting there, and then we start seeing like the numbers start to tick. And this is like 1 a.m. that we finally launched, and we're like, oh my gosh, people are buying it. Like we just sold straws. And then, you know, wake up the next day to like hundreds of sales, and then, you know, thousands. And it was incredible.
the product is also incredible. So we talked about how you guys launched the Kickstarter in April, and you guys are finally going to be sending those out next month in November. Clearly, you guys have done a lot of work and research in between that time to perfect that model like we've talked about. And also other people in the meantime have taken advantage of how much attention you guys have garnered and started making cheaper, admittedly less quality versions of that. And yeah. I want to get into that a little bit about how that's affected, you know, the business, but also just you personally, because I know when I saw it, I was very annoyed. So I can only imagine how much you and Miles felt.
Oh, man. It's like someone just kind of going into your house and stealing one object from you every day. It's like this constant torturous battle. But, you know, I have really tried to remove myself emotionally from it. I think yesterday was a really tough day because one of our Kickstarter backers sent us a direct message from this one competitor knockoff. That has really stolen everything that we've done, you know, to the point that they, like, we started doing this like hashtag sequence thing and they started doing that, like literally everything. And they're telling people that we copied them. And it's like, oh my gosh, it is good that I have not been able to find you, because when I do, I might seem nice, but I am not that nice. So, I mean, you know, it's a different emotional, I don't know, journey every day. That was really tough to see, because it's like, okay, you know what? Like, I understand that there are companies out there that are able to get to market a lot faster. And like, you know, there's nothing illegal about that. Until our intellectual property goes through, they are abiding by the law. But like, straight up lying and saying that like we're copying you was really, really frustrating and annoying and sucked. So that's, I guess, how it's affecting me personally. How it's affecting the business is a few different things. We get a lot of return requests and a lot of people commenting on our social media that, oh, I got their straw, it's junk. And it's like, oh gosh, like that's what's really frustrating, is that it, you know, the whole point of the business was to reduce waste. And now we have inadvertently created this mass of waste, because I've ordered plenty of these knockoffs, you know, I have a ton of them to see what, you know, they're doing, and they're junk. They're just total junk. I've like ordered a ultimate straw that like ripped in a couple days, and it's like, oh my goodness, like that's what really keeps me up at night. And that's what's really frustrating, is that like I feel like I have created this waste. And it's
that's a good point that I didn't consider, that in the wake of you guys trying to do reducing waste, they're creating really crap products that are just ending up as trash anyway. I didn't even think about it like that.
Oh, that's what gives me the most anxiety. Like, if they were creating a quality product, it would be like, okay, you know, like that is the market that we live in, and I accept that. But the frustrating part is that they're junk, and that people are complaining about them, and people are trying to return them to us. And, you know, the other thing is, like, God only knows what kind of materials they're using. You know, we are getting everything tested. You know, we were looking into using some different plastics. We tried to use ocean plastics, and, you know, the lead, it had a ton of lead in it. So we can't use ocean plastics. And I've seen that some of them are advertising that they're using ocean plastics. So, you know, kudos for people trying to upcycle trash, but also, like, you know, we need to be looking out for human health, and lead is, you know, a massive, massive issue that should not be going anywhere close to the food you're consuming or your lips.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's frustrating to me to watch all these other companies, just because I know those things are made cheaply. They're not good quality. Obviously, when things come from non-reputable sources, lead is always an issue. And that irks me. I'm sure, I can only imagine, but I appreciate you being transparent about that with us, because I can only.
Totally.
So speaking of waste and straws, obviously that's the whole point here. But as the straw movement picked up, which happened at a great time for Final Straw and just the whole movement overall, people are now starting to complain that straws are not enough and we should be doing more and we should stop championing this straw movement as, you know, the end all be all, which I don't see it that way. But I'd love to hear your perspective on people who are claiming that, you know, it's not enough and it's just like a stopgap kind of situation.
Totally. So, I mean, if someone is obese and they want to lose 100 pounds, do they try and lose 50 pounds on day one? No. They try and lose, you know, 1 pound at a time. And America, the world, is obese on plastic addiction. You know, we are fat with plastic. And so the straw is the first pound. It is getting the conversation going. It is getting people talking about it. It is getting people thinking about waste in a different way. I think the straw is the perfect champion for this movement because it is something that we all relate to on a personal level. And it's all something, it's something that once you start thinking about it, you're like, wow, I get so many straws in my drink every day, whether or not I ask for it. So yeah. I call it non-consensual plastic because when, you know, every time I go out, I say no straw and I still get one in my drink. And I understand, you know, I've worked as a server for years. You're like got a million things going on. Like a weird no straw request is, and now it's like more of a normal request, but like a few years ago, people would look at me cross-eyed when I would say that. So, you know, I would totally say, of course, a straw is not enough. A straw, you know, yes, it is one of the top items littering beaches, but not by volume or mass. It is, you know, only by numbers. And, right. You know, if you really want to start going after the big issues, you have to start somewhere. And that's why I think the straw is the perfect thing to start with.
I completely agree because, you know, they come, like you said, in everything. And it's something that you could also just not need in general. Like it's more of a preference thing for most people. So it's something that almost anyone could cut out if they decided to care. And I also agree that once you see it, you can't unsee it. So,
yeah. One of the biggest, I would say, disses we get on our social media is people saying, oh, well, why don't you just drink with your lips? Look, I am a 100% advocate of not using a straw. If you don't want to use a straw, please do not buy my product. Like, I condone that 100%. Yeah. But for the people who do want a straw or need a straw, we have an alternative. And you don't need to demonize people for wanting a straw. You don't need to, you know, that's not cool, but you can demonize wasteful habits and that's not okay. So, you know, that's why we made this convenient alternative. It's something that you can carry with you all the time. It's easy to clean and we really tried to kind of hit on all the points or the barriers that were, you know, not allowing people to bring these items with them if they so choose that they want them.
By now, I'm hoping that you are as impressed by Final Co, Miles, and Emma as I am. I think they've come a very long way very quickly, and they're coming up with some amazing sustainable products that they guarantee for a lifetime. There's no better definition of sustainability than that. So I personally do not think that they are ready to stop at the straw. I think we're going to see big things from this company in the future. So let's ask Emma a little bit more about what's to come. We talked about straws being the beginning of a no waste movement, and I want to know, what is the future of Final Co? Do you guys have other plans for other products? Do you plan to sell in like physical stores? What's the tea on that?
So I've got some pretty big plans. I've got kind of like the 1, 3, 5, and 10 year plans. I would say, like, you know, in the next 3 years, we're looking at doing an entire product line, any item that can replace single-use plastic. So we're calling our line Foreverables because they're designed to last forever. They're all going to be convenient to carry, sexy, badass, fun to use, and backed by a lifetime guarantee. So, you know, that's kind of the ethos of our company. Beyond that, I've got some pretty crazy ideas when it comes to really creating closed-loop systems with materials. getting way more involved in legislation. You know, one of the crazy ideas I have on my 10-year goal is making junk mail illegal.
Love that.
Yeah, right. I hate junk mail. You know, I've got a, you know, the problem, the actual problem, the reason our oceans are full of plastic is because there are countries out there that do not have waste management systems in place. So, you know, here in the US and in Canada and you know, a lot of these first world countries, we can throw mm-hmm. something in the trash can and it goes, and someone comes and picks it up and takes it and puts it, you know, in a landfill. Yes, that's not an ideal situation, but it is at least contained. That is a luxury, and that is not something that is in most places of the rest of the world. So, you know, my life goal is to fix that, and then you will actually be fixing the problem of, you know, the trash gyres, because the majority of the trash that's ending up in the ocean isn't from our, you know, like these first world countries, because we do have those waste management systems. Yes, there is trash yeah. ending up from the U.S. into the ocean, absolutely 100%, but it's not the majority.
Yeah.
And then maybe this goes more with the straws being the catalyst for change, mm-hmm. but you know, the straw has created an environmental movement that has not really been seen in the past. I think that people are so united and passionate behind this item, and you've never seen legislation sweeping the world in the way that, you know, this is happening, minus, you know, the use of like CFCs and aerosol. This legislation is going through so fast and really, really making an impact all over. And so, you know, yes, it is not going to save the world, but it is a monumental achievement for humans to recognize the wastefulness of this one item and really do something to change it. Because, you know, there was bans with, you know, single-use plastic bags, and that, you know, took forever, and a lot of them failed. And you also had the plastics companies really fighting those. The plastics companies aren't fighting straws because they know they're not going to win. So you have no one coming up against this legislation, which is incredible. Like, if that had been the case for plastic bags, you know, who knows what would have happened with that. But, you know, same with microbeads. Like, microbeads was really long, drawn-out fight and didn't get banned globally. And now we're seeing this one item really changing the forefront of environmental legislation.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point, because in Austin, actually, our plastic bag ban got lifted because mm-hmm. Texas has a history of doing this, of when cities want to make things illegal, Texas makes it illegal to make it illegal. It's the most irritating thing. But, and I don't think we have any cities here just yet that have banned the straw, but it is good to see us moving in the right direction. And I do agree. Straws, I think, are the great, great monumental thing that people can get behind. So whatever is causing environmental change is good.
2018 will forever be known as the year of the straw in my book.
No, I think in everybody, I think it has definitely taken off, which I'm eternally grateful for. So
yeah, I mean, if we had launched our Kickstarter 6 months earlier, it would have been crickets. Like, we got so lucky with the timing and the political climate and, you know, I mean, I guess maybe not political climate, because I do think that, you know, environmental awareness and legislation is a nonpartisan issue. But we just got very, very lucky with, you know, coming out at the time when straw bans were really, you know, on the rise.
I think you're right. Well, thank you so much, Emma, for sharing your story of the final straw and your history of activism and your outlook for the future activism. I really appreciate it. So thank you so much for being part of the rise of the Ecopreneur, because you are the epitome of that. And this has been Emma with Final Co. Is that what you guys are officially?
Yeah, Final Co. Final Co.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today, Emma.
Yeah, totally. And you could also call me a strong entrepreneur, but you know, either way.
That's perfect. Awesome.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Again, my guest today has been Emma from Final Co., the creators of Final Straw, the collapsible Final Straw. I hope you enjoyed this episode and getting to know more about what it takes to create a business around a sustainable product like this. If you did, it would mean the world to us if you left us a review on iTunes. It really helps us gauge what you're enjoying and what you'd like to see more of. Also, if you have any suggestions for the podcast and who you'd like to see as a guest, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram at shelbizzle, S-H-E-L-B-I-Z-L-E-E-E, or you can send me an email at podcast@ubuntoo.com. I'm your host, Shelby, and thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.